hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn, handicapped, and elderly? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Personhood Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last Sunday, we began a sermon series entitled A New Year, New Opportunities for a Better, More Improved You. This time of year, especially in the new year, a lot of people examine their lives. They look and they see, well, I need to change this. I need to do better here. And they actually make New Year's resolutions. I'm sure by now, some have already forsaken or broken their New Year's resolutions. But this is an important time and is something that we can do not only this time of the year, but since we're focused on it this time of the year, I would encourage you and to actually use this time to examine yourself. In fact, the Bible says that we're to ask God to examine us, and we are to examine ourselves. As we went over last week, we'll just review a little bit. And if you missed that sermon, you can go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, Covenant Tabernacle. We're also on sermon audio, and you can actually watch this sermon in its entirety, but we'll review it here today. We saw from Psalm 139, which was our opening passage last Sunday, that we are to ask God to search us, to try us, to see if there is any wicked way in us. Why? Because we don't know ourselves as well as God knows us. We can hide things from others, and there are even things that we are doing wrong that we don't realize are wrong because we don't have a full understanding of ourselves nor a full understanding of God's law and His requirements, how deep His requirements of holiness is. So we are to ask God to search us, to try us, to see if there's any wicked way in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 15, we see that we're supposed to examine ourselves. We're supposed to test ourselves to examine ourselves and make sure that we are in the faith, not to just assume, hey, I'm going to church. I'm doing what is right. I'm going to heaven. No, we shouldn't just assume that. This is one thing that we talked about, these dual competing principles that look like they're contradictory. One is the sovereignty of God in salvation. The Bible says that God is completely sovereign in salvation, but also our personal responsibility. Most people believe one or the other, but you'll see in the writings of Paul, you'll see many situations and many verses and passages that talk about God's sovereignty in salvation, but you'll also see passages like this that say that we need to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to make sure that we are in the faith, to not just assume that we are Christians, that we're going to heaven, but to make sure, and if we do this, we'll make sure that we are not disqualified. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, says that we're to make our calling and election sure. And this is an interesting phrase, because who does the calling? Well, God does the calling. Who does the electing? God does the electing, yet we are supposed to make our calling and election sure. And he says, if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see our responsibility working hand in hand with God's sovereignty, making sure that we are in the faith, examining ourselves, making our calling and election sure. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, we saw that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why fear and trembling? Well, this is one final exam. You don't want to fail. When you get before the throne of God, when you get before the judgment of God, when God judges you, when you go to meet your Maker, and every one of us will meet our Maker, we can't say, well, I've been good enough to get there. No, you're not going to get there by being good enough. You have to get there by the blood of Jesus Christ and making sure that His blood has been applied to your life and to your sins. We're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We're also, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, that we're to examine our work. But let each one of you examine his own work, and he will have rejoicing in himself and not in another. And then we turn to how to cleanse our way, because as Christians, we are called to be holy, even as God is holy. And that's a tall order, because God is not just holy, He is perfectly holy. There is no impurity in Him. So we need to actually look and see that we are cleansed ourselves. How can you cleanse your way? And if you look in Psalm 119, in verse 9, and also verse 104 through 106, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. So we see here the law of God being used by taking heed according to His word, that being used to cleanse our way, to make us right, to make us holy, and then through the precepts of God, the scriptures, we get understanding and we hate every false way. So as we read the Bible and meditate upon it and think about it and ponder it, what happens is we start to love what God loves and hate what He hates. That means that we're going to love God and we're going to hate sin. And your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. And then we see and we go over to Psalm 19, and we read this for an opening passage today, the entire chapter. We're going to read just verses 7 through 14 today. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we see the law of God, the commandments of God are perfect, converting the soul. Now this word soul is in Hebrew, the word nephesh. In the Strong's Concordance, it's word 5315. And the King James translation uses 28 different English words to translate this word. But it typically means life, the soul, the inner person, as opposed to what others see, what makes up our inward parts. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it represents the whole person of a human being. As the Bible says that God created man and breathed in him to the breath of life, and he became a living being. And so this is what we're talking about, the law of God converting us. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about that purification, that holiness, that sanctification process that comes when we obey the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, when we meditate upon it, when we think about it, ponder it. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Those who are simple, those who are foolish, those who lack understanding, the law of God, the testimonies of God can make you wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So we see here the commandments of God teaching us, giving us wisdom, giving us understanding, enlightening our eyes, making, and we see that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, the judgment of the Lord is true and righteous altogether. That we're to desire them more than we desire gold, more than we desire fine gold. And these, his commandments are sweeter even than honey in the honeycomb. And they warn us. They warn us of the consequences of sin and keeping them and obeying his commandments. There is great reward. In verse 12, who can understand his errors? Can we understand our errors? We are not even capable of understanding even how the depth of the holiness of God, the depth that God wants us to keep his commandments, the depth of in the multitude of ways that we actually violate his commandments. Who can understand that? Cleanse me, the prayer here, cleanse me from secret faults. We need to pray that God would cleanse us even from faults that others don't see, even faults that we don't even realize that where we are failing him. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, this is interesting that he says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. What did Jesus say about what we say, about what we do? He said that when we do something, it proceeds from our heart. When we say something, that came out of our heart. You know, when you slip and you say that word that you don't want to say, that you know that God doesn't want you to say, or maybe you just say that word all the time and you don't even care. Well, that's because that's in your heart. And what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Even if you try not to allow that to come out of your mouth, occasionally that will come out of your mouth. But what we need to do is we need to meditate on the law of God. Meditate upon his precepts, upon his principles. Meditate upon the Bible and read the Bible. Think about it, ponder it. And when we're doing this, then the words of our mouth will also, when we're meditating on those things that are acceptable to God, then the words of our mouth will also be acceptable to God. There is a cleansing process here, and we can actually see this from Ephesians chapter 25, verse 6, that he might cleanse and sanctify her by the washing of the water of the word. This is referring to Christ washing his bride, the church. How? Through the washing of the water of the word. As we read the Bible, as we meditate upon it, as we memorize it, as we ponder it, as we think about it, his word cleanses us and makes us more like him. And we need to be in his word, reading his word, meditating upon it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul writes here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we read the Bible, as we apply his principles to our lives, as we obey his commandments, as we meditate upon him, upon his word, as we keep his commandments as the apple of our eye, and realize that his word is to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that our mind will actually be renewed, that we'll be able to get the junk out of our mind, that we'll be able to get those bad words out of our mind, those bad actions out of our mind, and replace it with the word of God, so that God can do a work, and so that we can actually live a life that is holy, that is good, acceptable, and perfect will, that is according to the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we also, a lot of people also this time of the year are thinking not only about their relationship with God and things that they need to do, and that's where we started, because that's the most important. That's the most important thing, is that we're right with God. You can't be right with others until you're first right with God. But we also that's the second part of that, you know, we have a vertical relationship with God, but we also are called to have a horizontal relationship with others. Maybe you're married. If so, with your spouse. Maybe you have children or grandchildren, or you have parents and great-grandparents and grandparents. You have other people that you may work with or go to school with, and we are called to actually have good relationships with those. And so we need to examine our lives with our relationships. In John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, we read, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So we are to love one another even as Jesus loved us. As he loved us, we are to love one another. Now, how did he love us? Well, he died for us. He gave his life. He emptied himself. And he became a man, a human being. You know, what he did, he certainly did use the power of God in the miracles that he performed, in casting out demons and so on and so forth. But he did that with the limitations of being a human like you and like me. Just God working through him. And we need to have that same love as God, as he loved us, and emptied himself, and could have, you know, he had preeminence, but he set aside that preeminence and actually allowed God to be glorified through him. He emptied himself, the Bible says, and he became a man just like us, and he endured all temptations for us, and then he suffered and died for us on the cross. And so we need to love one another. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible talks about love, and how love doesn't seek its own, isn't puffed up, isn't prideful. You know, we tend to seek our own. We want to make sure that we get what is right. Even in marriage, many times people say, well, you know, I'll do this, but he has to do that, or I'll do this, but she has to do that. Well, that's not what God says. God says that we love. We love. We do what God has called us to do, even if the other person doesn't reciprocate that love. We also, this time of the year, people think about improving their health. And I mentioned last Sunday going out and running and seeing a lot of people, even maybe more people than normal, out there running on New Year's Day, actually. Running, walking, riding bikes, you know, going out and being involved physically. We see people, you know, getting gym memberships, and many of those people will stop doing that afterward. It is important. It's not as important, and we need to realize this. It's not as important to our physical health is not as important as our spiritual health, but it is important. And one of the things that you see, that we see with some Christians, is some Christians actually neglect their body. The Bible tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So we see that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yet many people, many Christians, actually neglect their body. I've been around some Christians, I'm friends with some Christians, who actually even joke among themselves about how heavy and how overweight they are. And you know, we know from what doctors tell us how many complications excess weight affects. It affects your heart, it affects diabetes, it affects so many different ways. And God, there are ways that we can actually do things differently to have self-control, to have discipline, to make sure that we are getting the proper amount of exercise, to make sure that we are eating a diet that is healthy. You may not be able to eat a diet that is as healthy as you would want to, but at least if you can move closer to that and you can exercise more, you know, take that first step and get out there and do it. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, we read that for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of life that now is and that is to come. So here we see that really, again, as we mentioned earlier, your spiritual health is much more important than your physical health. And we should focus primarily on getting right with God spiritually, making sure that we are reading the Bible, that we are praying, that we are praising Him, that we are applying and obeying His commandments. But one of the things that we need to realize also, that when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he wrote this in a day where they didn't have cars, they didn't have scooters, they didn't have motorcycles, they didn't have airplanes. If they wanted to get somewhere, they walked. If they wanted to, you know, if they needed to mow the lawn, they didn't mow it with a powered lawnmower. Whatever work they did manually. So sometimes they would sail on ships, but even that they didn't have, you know, they were just dealing with the wind power, and then there was still work that they had to do. Today, people don't even get up from their chair. Many people, when they're working, don't even get up from their chair to get a piece of paper that they've printed. In our computer business, I've had employees, at various businesses that we service, that actually you'll want me to fix the printer that's right next to their chair so that they don't have to get up and walk 10 feet to get a piece of paper from the copier. So we're not as active as we are supposed to be. Our bodies are actually designed to be moving. And there are, in fact, the lymphatic system in our body, which is the primary system of getting rid of toxins. One of the primary systems of getting rid of toxins is designed, it actually doesn't have a pump. It's actually designed, your body's only able to get rid of certain toxins when you're moving, bouncing up and down, running, walking, when you are active, when you are doing things. And so it's very important that we are active, that we are doing things, that we are allowing God to move in our lives. Another area that people are actually looking at this time of year is their personal finances. And when we look at personal finances, we see that first of all, we're to make sure that we don't desire to be rich. A lot of people do desire to be rich, but in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we need to make sure that we are not, that we are content, and that we don't have this an undue desire to get well. Yet, God, when we have the right heart, God does in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, He does give us the power to get wealth, not just so you can be blessed, but so that He could establish His covenant through you. And that is important. That's the reason that God gives people wealth, is to actually do something good. God also tells us that we are to, in Proverbs 27, verses 23 through 27, that we're to examine and be diligent to know the state of our flocks, that we are to actually realize that riches don't endure forever. So we need to make sure that we are right with God, and also that we are right with one another. It's important to exercise. It's important to get to be active. And it's important to do, to be content, and to also allow God to use the talents and the gifts and talents that you have to honor Him, and to allow to actually work diligently so that God can bless you, so that God can use you to establish His covenant here on this earth. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn, handicapped, and elderly? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Personhood Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
As long as I